You're listening to the Bear in Mind podcast, episode 132.
A podcast that breaks it down so you can break the cycle for good. Now your host, Tara Rama, but you can call her T.
We spend a lot of time doing this, preventing emotions. I think for most of us, if you're yelling like me, like I was trying to stop yelling, I found out that I actually was spending quite a bit of time actually preventing emotions rather than yelling. And if you recognize a lot of anxiety in your life, you might be able to see this and recognize yourself in it in a bit. Preventing emotion is related to yelling in the essence that if we know that we kind of yell, we also try to prevent the yelling by then preventing an emotion from happening so that we don't yell. So as if the solution to the problem is to not have the emotion that's going to cause us to yell. That sounds like a really good plan. It sounded really good. And I still do this. I still try to prevent emotions. And the best way, I think, to explain how we go about it, because I think it's really subtle, and I'm going to tie it back to yelling and the action that you are probably trying to stop and how that's related to preventing. And I was trying to think of specific examples so that can bring up the subtleties of it in our day-to-day lives. And I'm going to use, well, my life. I'm going to use my kid and my partner. They're going to be the guinea pigs, which they usually are. And the way that you can kind of see preventing emotions is, for example, my child might get hungry. And so I will pack. Actually, I don't do this anymore. My husband will pack stuff in his bag. He has like a man bag or man purse or something. And now there's this kind of joke in our family that he has this anxiety bag. And he fills it anytime he goes and leaves our home with our kid. And it could just be 15 minutes from our apartment, half an hour going to be out, maybe an hour, and it'll be filled with treats. He'll make sure he has something to drink. He'll make sure that she has something to do, draw, etc. And so he does this, and I've asked him why he does this. He goes, well, in case she gets hungry. And it seems really logical in our heads. And I'm not talking about your child actually being hungry. And this is usually the case where you have to kind of manage hunger a little bit more in younger children. But notice that even as children age and as they can take more space between feedings, I say, between their snack times, we still tend to think that they need to eat something, because if they don't eat something, what is it that we're afraid that's going to happen? We're afraid that they're going to have some sort of meltdown, tantrum, whatever you want to call it, and we don't want that to happen. So we actually are trying to prevent their emotion. And this is also true my husband carries like coloring pencils and paper in case she gets bored. And so we are trying to somehow influence the emotion. We actually don't control the emotions of our children. And again, I'm not talking about the true hunger where starvation actually tries to kick in, like in a newborn baby, where if you don't feed them every 2 to 3 hours, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about actual just being upset that they're not getting what they want. And then we don't want that to happen, because then what happens? What actually happens? Let's say kid has a meltdown, they're not getting what they want. We then get upset or have some sort of negative emotion, whatever that emotion is. Maybe it's shame, maybe it's humiliation if it's happening in front of people in a public space. And then we don't want to experience that emotion. So we are trying to not have our kid have a certain emotion so that we don't have an emotion. And so it gets kind of complicated when you do this. And I don't ever carry a bag full of anything. It was true when my kid was a baby, and now I don't carry anything when I know we're in our town. And there's nothing except maybe Kleenex. And so, and she says to me on the rare occasion that my partner goes and picks her up from school, the day after he picks her up, he'll say, "Do you have anything to eat for me?" And I'm like, "No, I never do." And she'll say, "Well, Dada always has a snack for me after school for our bike ride home, which lasts about 25 minutes. And I pick her up probably 95% of the time. I never have a snack for her. And all of a sudden, she has a snack from her father. And all of this is okay. What I don't want is that I'm not judging anybody for doing it. What I want is just some awareness and understanding of why we're doing it so that we can make more intentional decisions. And from that place, we can then understand how we are reacting to situations when we feel anger and when we do yell. Because when we're thinking that we're successful at preventing their emotions by feeding them when they're not hungry, by having them do something in case they get bored, all of those things, we are then trying to, quote unquote, manage our feelings in that situation. And that doesn't work 100% of the time, because I have seen plenty of evidence when my child has had meltdowns, has been upset, and there was nothing in that anxiety bag to cure it. And then it came back to my emotions. And the issue is that it's not 100% foolproof. There are other things that I think that I became aware of with that, besides that it's not effective, and there will always be something. But there is something a little bit bigger to that. When we try to prevent somebody else from having an emotion, and this doesn't necessarily have to be with children, it can be with your partner. For example, with my husband, sometimes I try to prevent his emotion by not giving my opinion on certain things, because I feel like sometimes if I give my opinion on anything, like if he had cooked dinner or anything, and even though it's not an insult or a critique or anything like that, but if I were to say something like, "Oh, the meat maybe was a little dry," or something like that, I know from experience that he would probably take that as a criticism. I'm insulting the meal, saying something bad. So I then don't say anything if I don't find the meal excellent. And we all kind of go about that. And there's absolutely nothing wrong. The only thing is to be aware that you're doing it. So I'm aware that I don't fully give my opinion to my partner, because I know that habitually he'll take that as negative feedback, as criticism. And so I'm going to bring it back to why maybe this isn't the foolproof solution, besides the fact that it's not 100% effective. There's two big reasons. One is that when we try to influence somebody's emotions, and usually we're trying to prevent them from having a negative experience, it means that we don't think that they're capable of handling it. It's subtle. For example, I'm saying to my partner, like, when I can't say my full opinion, and I'm not saying that I always need to say my opinion, but sometimes when I hold back an opinion that he is maybe not capable of processing a negative emotion. The same is also true with your kid. If you want to raise your kid to be more emotionally aware and manage their emotions and process their emotions, we also maybe need to think about saying that they're capable of moving through this negative experience of not getting what you want. And the second reason maybe to consider how we go about preventing emotions in other people, and I want you to think about how much energy that takes. I watch my husband pack his anxiety bag and then also get upset when something doesn't go away, because at some point he won't have something exactly that she wanted. There is not a they have not made a man bag big enough to hold and account for every possible situation that a child can encounter where they might get upset. And so something happens, and then he beats himself up. Oh, I should have had this. And the next time he'll make sure that he puts that in his anxiety bag. And there's a lot of mental energy, and you spend a lot of your time focusing on that, focusing on preventing it, rather than putting that time and energy into feeling our emotions, understanding them. And then when we understand them, then actually we can control how much we feel of it. Because when we want to actually prevent the emotion, we can do that by understanding why, what are the sentences in our head that are leading to those emotions, and shifting that little and gradually, that habitual way of thinking, shifting to that so that we feel less frustrated, and that's actually preventing the emotion, rather than going about trying to influence how other people are feeling, and then therefore thinking that we can then influence how we're going to feel. We can spend a lot more of our time focusing on what's going inside of our heads, what are the emotions we're experiencing and why, and then trying to shift that slowly. That's all I have for you this week. I'll check back with you next.
Thanks for listening. Listen for a new episode next Tuesday by subscribing on your favorite podcast platform. Bye for now.